Keith.
Is there any problems with us staying maybe 10 minutes after 9? Does we have any objections against that?
Yes.
No, we're good? Wonderful. Thank you.
Keith Alcoholic. I'd like to welcome the newcomer. Took me till I was 51 years old to get in here, and I'm grateful I got here. You know, I was born in Studio City, California, upper middle class family. My mom drank a little bit, my dad drank a little bit, but all the kids in the family are alcoholics or something, and I don't know what happened, but we grew up in the 60s, and sex, drugs, rock and roll, and it was a lot of fun. I started drinking probably around 8 or 9 years old. On New Year's, there was a New Year's party at my dad's house, and two girls lived next door, and we stole a bottle of champagne, and we went out on Laurel Canyon. We drank that champagne, and I could start talking to them. I could start flirting with them. I could start talking. You know, it just gave me that feeling of power. You know, that I could do anything. And but along with that came throwing up, seeing double vision, and but we went and got another bottle and did it again. Grew up all night long. It was a lot of fun. You know, it talks about resentments is our number one offender. And in junior high school, I was going out for the Olympics. And I was going to, you know, I worked for 2 years every day after school. And I was going to get four gold medals. It was a big deal. And possibly 5. So the day before the Olympics started, this teacher asked me to pick up a chocolate chip cookie. And I said no. And they kicked me out of school for those days of the Olympics. And I remember those days, I kicked out of school. I went down to Sorrento Beach and met some guys down there that were a little bit older than me. And we went and got some Red Mountain wine. We started drinking that. I remember throwing up again, but I had a lot of fun, I thought. And that's how my drinking went for the next 38 years. But that resentment carried on for the rest of my life, I guess, because I drank over for years. It bothered me for years. It bothered me for years. And it was a life-changing thing. You know, I worked hard to do that and didn't get to do it because some teacher told me I had to pick up a chocolate chip cookie. So, and it talks about, I remember George, my sponsor, one day, he talked to me about resentment and he said, pray for the person for 14 days. I said, what's that going to do, you know? He said, just try it. And Freedom of Bondage, I think it's 151, it talks about that. So I started praying for somebody that when I first came in here, man, I was pissed off about. And within 14 days, that resentment was gone. So prayer does work in this program. So I went to college for a while, and I didn't get to do well in college because I drank. I smoked weed, did cocaine and all that stuff, and ruined my life. But I didn't know it back then. I thought I had it going on. But, you know, I didn't get through college. I got in construction early, and I'm hurting today because of it. You know, if I could look back and change anything, it would just change, it would be that I could see life in a different way than I did back then. I couldn't get it. I always felt apart from everything, you know. I just couldn't get it. I couldn't get what people were talking about. I was slow in school. I and I always felt left out, you know, and that was just the way I was made, I guess. So I would drink over things like that. I would drink over feelings, and I would drink over to get rid of feelings, and then I would drink just to get fucked up, because that's what I like to do. I like to escape reality, and I did that for years. I got married when I was about 25 years old. My wife died of this disease. Kept on drinking. You know, I had a lot of friends die over the years of drinking and using drugs, but it didn't stop me from doing it. It didn't stop me from doing it. All right, I got to tell a couple stories here. I know that, you know, I remember one time I was at a bar, met this guy. Never met him before. He said, "You want to go to Vegas?" I go, "Sure." Went to Vegas, and he dropped me off. Never saw him again. And I remember walking through one of the hotels there, and I remember seeing this convention sign. And I remember walking in, and it was a midget convention, and I got 86 out of the midget convention, escorted out by four midgets, so if there's any midgets out there, I apologize.
That's funny.
And then here's another story I think most of the women in here will understand or relate to, that one time I was driving to L.A., drunker than a skunk. I had my wolf in the back of my pickup truck, and my fuel line broke. And I had shorts on, flip-flops, and a tank top. And I parked my truck in the left-hand lane because I didn't want to get a DUI. I had 20 DUIs up to this point. I think I just didn't need another one. And so I ran across the freeway, jumped the fence, ended up in this bar. It was still light outside. And I was the only one in there. And I went into a blackout. I remember waking up and hearing the song YMCA, and remember lifting my head up, and I'm seeing this person dance on the table. I'm thinking to myself, God, I've hit the gold mine. And as I'm looking up, I'm noticing, oh shit, there's hairy legs, and I get up there and I see these two things hanging down, and all of a sudden this person turned around, and I'm eye to eye with a one-eyed lizard. I think the women understand this in here. That's pitiful and comprehensible demoralization. And I was so inebriated, I couldn't move, I couldn't get out of there. So I was there for hours. And I looked around, and everybody was dressed like the village people. And that's the way my life went. Just weird things, one time after another. And the last time I drank was September 2nd, 2003. And I got drunk. I terrorized my daughter and my grandson down here in Santa Maria. And she told me to leave. I remember driving up to Five Cities and terrorizing my mother and father. My dad said, "You can stay here tonight, but don't ever come back." And he was sick and tired of my shenanigans. He bailed me out of jail in Washington, Utah, Idaho, Oregon, Florida, California. And he was just sick and tired. And he said, "You can spend the night here, but don't ever come back." And I remember passing out. I remember waking up, 7:42 in the evening. And I said, "God, I can't do this anymore. Help." And the obsession to drink went away. I had that moment of clarity. I haven't had a drink since then. And remember going to court on a couple of DUIs when I got back to California. And this is a couple of days after I asked God for help. I was going to court on these DUIs, and I asked my lawyer. I said, "Just put me in jail. I can't do this anymore." And he said, "No, there's an easier, softer way." And I don't know what the odds are of your lawyer being an Alcoholics Anonymous, but that was a God shot to me. And he suggested that I go into detox, and when I get out of detox, So they go to a men's stag meeting up in Pismo Beach. And I did what this man suggested. I went into detox for 30 days. When I got out, I was driving up to Pismo Beach to go to that men's stag meeting about maybe 31, 32 days of sobriety. I remember going into a 7-Eleven to get some cigarettes. I see this Mexican drive up in a lower green Chevy. He had all this gold on his fingers and all this gold around his neck. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy must be a drug dealer or a pimp. So I drive to the meeting. I sit down. I'm scared. It's a men's stag meeting. And I really didn't know anybody there. And I looked up and I saw this man sitting across from me. And that was contempt prior to investigation. And I remember hearing this man talk. Every other word was fuck, but I think at the time I needed to hear that. But I liked what this man was talking about, and I asked him to be my sponsor. And he said to me, he says, you know what? I'll do it, but you got to read the book in 30 days, and you call me every day for 30 days. If you don't do it, you get another sponsor. And I said, okay. He asked me, you willing to go to any lengths? I said, yes. And then I thought to myself, oh my God, he must be a Mexican gay hairdresser. Because I didn't know what that meant, if you're willing to go to any length. And I said, sure. I was willing to do anything. And you know, he told me the steps were giant, kind, gentle, and loving. And don't be scared of them. And then I'd see him every day at a meeting. He goes, did you pray this morning? I go, yeah, which I didn't. But every day, did you pray this morning? Did you pray this morning? Should I start praying that he quit asking me if I was praying this morning? That's how I started praying, really. And but you know what? We sat down, and every month we did a step. And I was not scared to do the steps. So I was looking forward to them. And I remember the first time I went into a meeting, when I went into detox, I remember looking up on the board and seeing those steps. And those first two steps jumped out at me, that I was powerless over alcohol and my life was unmanageable. Duh. And then the second one came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I knew I was insane, because I kept doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And God, I'd wake up in the morning going, I can't do this anymore. You know, I'm never going to drink again. By noontime, the hangover would go away. You know, 3 o'clock, the hangover is gone. I'm getting off work. I go get a six-pack, drive home. Within 20 minutes, a six-pack was gone. I go get a bottle and a 36-pack. And I just kept doing the same thing over and over again. You know, getting in trouble all the time. And anyway, that second step jumped out at me. And I believe that night when I said, God, I can't do this anymore, help, I pretty much did the first three steps, looking back on it. So we sat down and we started doing the steps. And the first step, I understood that one. Second step, I understood that one. Now, the third one, I kind of balked at, you know, turned my will and my life over to God of my understanding that I don't understand. Because I don't understand. But I sat there and I said to myself, wait a minute. About 4 months ago, I asked God for help. The obsession to drink went away. My life started to get better. And I said, yeah, I have a higher power in my life today. And I'm grateful for that. I am so grateful for that. I do pray in the morning. I do pray in the evening. And I pray all day long. When I first came in here, I did that serenity prayer 200 or 300 times a day. At least, because I was a lost soul, man. I was lost when I came in here. Fourth step, made a decision to, made an inventory of myself and all that stuff. The hit list is what people talk about. And I wanted to do that stuff bad, because over the years, man, I had this stuff built up in me that I couldn't sleep at night, you know, and I would drink over the stuff that I did in the past, and I was willing to get rid of that stuff, and so I made that list, and then I did it with my sponsor, And every, you know, God, every step I did, man, was a new freedom. So I hope you guys, if you're new, don't miss out on doing the steps and getting a sponsor. It's well worth it. And so I got a new freedom out of every step I did. So I made that lift, and when I was done, you know, I went to, you know, I told him it. You know, I told it to him, you know. And what was great about it was he said, oh, yeah. I did that too, and then he had to, you know, there was stuff that I did that he forgot about, and more will be revealed as time goes on, and sometimes I go to a meeting, man, and you know, there's stuff that I blocked out for years that all of a sudden comes right out and slaps me in the face, and I need that because those things are still haunting me, I guess, deep down inside. So. And then the fifth step, you know, admitted God to ourselves and know you mean the exact nature of our wrongs. When I sat down and did that with him, all that shit that was on my shoulders for years, the stuff that I was talking about, man, was gone, you know, it was gone. So I had a new freedom. That's the biggest freedom I got in years, man, getting rid of that stuff, that baggage I came in here with, you know. And entirely ready to ask God to remove all my character defects. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but I tell you what, they do change. You know, when I came in there, there's a million people in my head. You know, and today there's only, you know, 200 or 300. But it's a lot better, man. The mind calms down, and those character defects. You know, the glaring ones that. What I do now is you know, I try to do the right thing like Jesse was talking about. And if something comes up that I get pissed off at or that I know is going to be the wrong thing to do, I can catch myself and not do it. You know, I think it, but I just don't do it, you know. And then, that's one of the beauties of the program is humbly asking to remove our shortcomings. So I don't act on those things today, man. My shortcomings were, man, like Jesse was talking about, man, I would punch you rather than walk away, you know. I would tell you you're a freaking asshole instead of just letting it go, you know, letting things go. So, you know, and by doing that, it makes me practice humility. And to stay around these rooms, man, you have to have humility, I believe, you know. And it keeps me humble. And I'm grateful for that. Grateful for that. And then 8 and 9, man, made a list of all persons I'd harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. That's an extension of step 4. And I did that. And I remember sitting down with George and doing that list with him. And then the first thing I did when I was done with that, man, I went up to my mom and dad's house and I asked them if I could talk to them. I probably had 8 or 9 months of sobriety at the time. And I sat down and told them that, you know, I told them how sorry I was about the way I was for so many years with them. And they were grateful enough to go, you know, it's okay. And my dad sends me cards on my AA birthday, which is cool. My mother got to see me clean and sober for 7 years before she died. My dad just turned 93 last week, and we went up to see him, and the happiest I've seen him in a long time. It was cool. And those are the gifts I get out of this program, you know, getting my family back. You know, like they don't have to worry about me every night. You know, I'm sure my mother, you know, was haunted for years. You know, my younger brother died of this disease. He was 11 years younger than me, and he was in and out of these programs for 35 years, but just couldn't get in there. And it was not a good way to go, man. He was bloating up. They had to take a gallon of water out of him every day, and it was horrible to watch. But that's what alcohol do to you. It'll torture you. And I know that sucker's waiting right outside that door for me. You know, he's out there. He wants me dead. He wants me dead. So anyway, you know, continue to take personal inventory, and when I was wrong, promptly admitted it. I do that once in a while. I have to make an amends to somebody, but that carries on from the other steps before that, that I try to keep my mouth shut sometimes instead of opening it, you know. You know, you have the right to be wrong, and I have the right to be right. And so, you know what? Carry on, you know? And, or vice versa. And so, you know, I can't change people, places, and things, man. You know, you just can't do it. So, I don't have to get into those damn fights anymore. But by the time you're done, nothing gets accomplished. Except for feelings hurt, and hatred, and all that crap that goes along with that stuff. So, I do the best I can on that, you know. Now, step 11, fasting, prayer, and meditation, to improve our conscious contact with God, as I understand, praying only knowledge for His will, power to carry that out. I like that step. If you see me meditating in a meeting, please don't kick me. not funny. So, you know, I pray every day, you know. I'm God conscious today. And I'm not a religious man, but I do have a higher power. And I do rely on that. That, you know, it keeps me in a calm place sometimes. It keeps me even keeled to have that in my life today, you know. And meditation, you know, I do my best meditation in meetings. I don't know why. I just get relaxed. And I do. So anyway, just don't kick me. All right. Anyway, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, the message is hope. The message is you don't ever have to drink again. The message is, you know what? You don't have to die. You don't have to go to jail. You don't have to be in a mental institution. You know, you don't have to be over in the corner slobbering. You know, you don't have to drink again. And so I'm so grateful that I haven't had a drink for over 11 years. And that's a freaking miracle. It really is a miracle. When you know, there's a lot of miracles in this room. I listen to people's stories, and you just go, how did they change all of a sudden to where they were animals and now they're human beings? I was a freaking animal out there. And today, you know, in 11 years, I've gotten one ticket, you know. I couldn't, and I haven't been arrested in 11 years. I couldn't go 2 months without getting arrested for, you know, within a 10-year period. And, you know, it's all about change in here, man. It's all about change. So, I don't know. If you're new, welcome. If you're new, you don't ever have to drink again, even if you want to. If you're new, get some people's phone numbers. You know, there's a lot of people in there that have some time. And our primary purpose is to help the other alcoholic suffering. So don't feel that you're getting in somebody's way or I don't want to bother that person. That's what we're here for, is for you to bother us. No, because we want to help you. You know, we want to help you. You know, George took his time to help me. A lot of men in this program took their time to help me. And by him doing that, that helps keep him clean and sober. So, you know, I don't know. What else is there? That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you very much. Another round of applause.